All right. If you'll go ahead and take your Bibles out, please. This is the fifth of our five-part series on having strong, healthy relationships. So this is the last of this specific series, having strong, healthy relationships. Jesus' instructions on how to build our relationships. Now, we have had these different lessons, and you know, one way we could summarize all of these is to love. Okay, to love. One of the struggles that we have with love is it's not very strong of a word picture for us. There's many, many different images we might have with love, and how do we love? And there are tons and tons of books written about that, you know, the love languages, and all that kind of stuff. So another word we could pick would be generous. To have strong, healthy relationships, we need to be generous. Generous with each other. Generous with our time, giving attention. You know, I've been able to help in the nursery from time to time during Sunday school. I don't generally do that during church, although I've threatened to give my sermon from back there while I do that, but that'd be a little odd. But, you know, to just sit in the nursery and make sure the children don't harm themselves isn't really being very generous. But to interact with them, get on the floor and play, or, you know, have somebody sit on your knee and you read a book to them, or those kind of things, giving them real attention. Allowing ourselves to be open with people, allowing ourselves to be attached to people, caring for people. Offering grace, offering mercy, being generous with people. Now, in the coming weeks, even though we're not going to be specifically talking about relationships anymore, we're going to continue with this generosity theme in other ways. Learning about sharing what God has given us. For instance, sharing Christ himself. What an incredible treasure. Well, so today, as we close out discussing relationships, our topic is communicate from the heart. Communicate from the heart. Communicating from the heart is more than being open and honest with people. Although we have to be open and honest if we're going to have any real relationships. But this is deeper than that. To communicate from the heart means to share deep emotional levels. Okay, I can honestly tell someone how my day went, or honestly describe the traffic or the roads as I drove to work and came back and those kind of things. And that's not exactly terribly deep or emotional. Sharing from the heart. Sharing our feelings, our opinions, our concerns, our fears, our dreams, even our needs. That's how we build strong relationships. Now, there's a conflict here. As you think about doing things like sharing your needs and your concerns, it takes great vulnerability to do that. You have to be very vulnerable to share how we feel about things. Because people start to really know us. If you start to see my emotions and my needs and my concerns, I might not look so politically correct, right? I might say things that you don't like. When people really know who we are, rejection is doubly painful. It's hard enough to be rejected when you keep holding the mask up and you hardly share yourself. But when you really share yourself and somebody then turns their back on you, it's extremely painful. And when people really know who we are, they are much more able to hurt us. They know our fears. They know our weaknesses. They know what buttons to push. So it is certainly much safer to not be vulnerable. It's much safer to not share deeply. But the conflict is that we need to be known. We have a deep need for people to understand us, to feel with us. We need people to connect. Very often, I've learned this from my wife, very often, she's not the only one, people will want to share things and they don't want people, others to fix it. My wife does not want me to fix her problems most of the time. She wants me to understand her problems and to understand her in it. To have empathy. To connect with her. Now, being the clumsy husband that I am, more often than not, I try to fix it instead. And, you know, she talks about doing something or how she feels. And I talk about, well, let's fix this. And then she gets mad at me. You know, so I need to learn to feel with her. I'm going to show you the beginning of this conflict. There's this conflict about we need to be vulnerable, but we're afraid to be vulnerable. We need to be known, but we don't want to be known. So let's look at the beginning of this conflict. If you want, turn to Genesis chapter 2, or else follow along on the projection behind me. Genesis chapter 2, very near the beginning of the Bible. Genesis chapter 2, starting at verse 25. I'm sorry, starting at verse 22 to 25. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." In other words, this woman is like me. She should be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Okay, God made Adam and Eve, and they were together in the garden. By the way, we don't know how long. They were together in the garden for some length of time. And they were completely naked, and they were without shame. And some of you are sitting there thinking, he said naked in church. Now, I believe that this nakedness, this state of being naked, is much more than the fact that Adam and Eve weren't wearing any clothing. See, I think this nakedness is that they were open to each other. They were vulnerable. They were connected. They were like one flesh. They really knew each other deeply, intimately. They knew the kinds of things that were going on in each other's lives. And honestly, we don't know how long that was. They were close. They were vulnerable with each other. But the openness doesn't last. If you now turn to Genesis chapter 3, starting at verse 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. One result of the fall, there's a lot of results of the fall, but one result, Adam and Eve were now ashamed to be in front of each other. They had lost their intimacy. They had lost part of what they were made to have. Part of what they need. Sin robs us of intimacy. Just our sinful nature, our fallenness, robs us of intimacy. By the way, that's not just with each other, that's also with God. And the work of Christ, his forgiveness, his redemption, his restoration, he rebuilds those intimacies. He gives us access back to God, to be called children of God. I use this illustration of having a child sit on your knee and interacting with this person, or getting down on the floor and interacting. It's like God allows us to come back and to sit on his knee, or to sit on the floor and play with him. I hope that does not sound too irreverent. It shouldn't, Jesus had the children around him. Jesus helps us get close to God again, and he helps us get close to each other. The Holy Spirit works in that. So people really don't want to share deeply. People fear sharing deeply. People fear vulnerability. But people need them. We fear what we need. So there are at least three things that we can do to help this. Three things. First of all, we need Christ in our lives. Then there's three other things we can do. We have to work to be vulnerable with each other. So that means I work to be vulnerable with those around me. Even if we don't like it, we need to open ourselves up to people. We need to connect. Other people are more likely to connect to me if I am open and vulnerable with them. People are more likely to open up to you and connect to you if you are open and vulnerable to them. 1 John 1:7 says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin." Now, we need to walk in the light, and that is to allow the hidden things to be shown. I know we aren't equally vulnerable with everyone. Some people we are closer to than others. But in order to build healthy relationships, we have to be willing to be vulnerable with most everybody. We need to take the next step in vulnerability. We need people to see the light of who we really are. We need people to see how we really feel. That's one of the sad parts of political correctness. Some people think that political correctness is running amok in our country. I don't know, it always seemed to me, but the problem is people are afraid to tell you what they think. Because somebody might misconstrue it. So we need to share who we are with people. Some of us have trouble knowing our feelings. Billy Joe all the time asks me, "So how do you feel about that?" I hate that question. Right? How do you feel about that? It's kind of like, "So what are you thinking?" By the way, almost every male I've ever talked to, I'm not going to say every man is like this, but every man I've ever talked to about this, if they are asked the question, "So what are you thinking?" instantly forget everything. It is an instant mind eraser. Okay? It is gone. When they say nothing, it's because I can't think of a thing. I can't even think of my name right now. Where am I? Many, many people struggle to know what their feelings are. That just takes practice. So we need to work at it. We need to open up with people. And we need to learn to listen to people. We aren't good at listening. We need to really hear people. We need to hear their heart within their words. We need to try to attempt to understand their needs, understand their struggles. James 1:19 and 20 says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." So we need to let people talk. And very often when we listen, I think it was either last week or before I talked about this too, very often when we listen, the whole time we are listening to someone, we are thinking of how we're going to respond. What am I going to say next? And we need to stop that. We need to Listen to what the person has to say. Of course, that might mean there's some emptiness in the conversation, some blank air time, but we're not on the radio, probably, so it's okay. Silence is all right. Try to get people's perspective. What are they really trying to say? You know, an example of trying to understand people. Everyone is on a spectrum somewhere between emotional and logical. And you probably move around on the spectrum from, you know, but at any one moment in time, you are somewhere on the spectrum of between emotional and logical. Yet you probably are not completely logical, okay? Even Mr. Spock wasn't. And you are not probably completely emotional. And as you're interacting with other people, they are somewhere on the spectrum too. So when you are talking to someone, they are either being more logical or more emotional than you are. And often when we are listening to people, we are listening from our own perspective. Let's say I'm being very emotional and my wife is being very logical. That tends to be a flip on the way our conversations go. I share something emotional, and she responds with logic. Okay, like I say something like, you know, you never do the dishes. Okay. And she says, I did the dishes January 24th, 1972. So don't say I never do the dishes. I did them once. Okay. Well, you can kind of get a feel for the way that conversation truly goes. If someone's being more logical than I am, I need to try to understand their perspective. What is the logic here? What is their perspective? If I'm with someone who's being more emotional, I need to try to understand their emotion. What are they trying to say in this? Listen. What is their heart saying between the words? The third thing we have to do is be very generous with mercy and grace. I once had a pastor tell me, a mentor pastor tell me, if you will be a church that will love people, people will come from many miles to your church. Man is older than I am. I deeply respect him. And I had to go back to him once and tell him he is absolutely wrong. If you are a loving church, people will avoid you most of the time. And why is that? Well, he was coming from the perspective of everyone needs to be loved. So they will come to your church if they are loved. But I think practice is most people fear what they need. People fear vulnerability. To be loved is to be vulnerable, and people won't do it. I mean, how many guys like to sit in a small group and talk about their feelings? Right? Raise your hand. You like to sit in a small group and talk about your feelings. I hate it. So we just lost all the guys. Okay? So half the people in the world aren't coming. We have to be generous with mercy and grace because we start to get to know people. We have to be patient with people. If we're going to start to really listen to people, start to really understand them and let them be vulnerable, the first time they say something that we don't like, we can't just scream, you know, and run around in circles. We cannot act the way everybody acts on Facebook and on Twitter, okay? You can't take the one statement that somebody made and use their worst statement ever to just define them as to who they are forever, okay? We can't be like our political environment, okay? We are destroying everybody who runs for president at this point. We could sway everybody. I mean, it seems to me anybody with any sense would never run for president. I mean, if you want to do a logical test on people who are qualified to be president, there's one question: do you want to be president? If they say yes, they're not qualified. They're crazy. I mean, we destroy everybody. Everybody. Name one who hasn't. That's our culture. We can't be like that with people. I know it's a little political, but obviously I didn't state any side, any political party. I mean, we do it to both parties, right? There isn't one. We have to be open and loving to people. We can't reject people when they open up. And what's really scary about that is we come into these things with our own fears, our own concerns, our own hot buttons. And somebody shares something, and we go ballistic because of our own issues. But that is not merciful, and that's not gracious. I mean, there are many people who have been abused. Abuses children, abuses adults. You get someone come in and they start talking about abuse, and very often somebody who's really struggling with that fear will just kind of go crazy. It just comes out. Well, we can't be like that. You know, the first time you share something that I don't like, I can't just go crazy over that. Which means things like legalism and judgmentalism just have to get tossed away. Even people who do really, really, really horrible things. I mean, different things. I spent like half an hour trying to come up with something to say right there. And I have lots and lots of them, but all of them just seem too harsh. You know, what's that one thing in your life, the person who does that one thing, and they just seem horrible? Virtually, it's unforgivable. Well, God can forgive them too. They need help too. They need to be in church. They need to hear about Christ. They need healing. See, the hard part of communicating from the heart is all of our hearts have dark places. All of us have sinned. All of us have done things all of us have done things we're ashamed of. And if people ever share that kind of stuff, you have to say it's okay. Yeah. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You see, as we deal with people, very often we deal out of our own hurts and our own issues, and that is not wholesome. It doesn't build them up. We get angry, we condemn because of the hurt inside of us. That's how we are. But with God's help, we can't be like that. How do I want Jesus to respond to me if I were to walk up and say, you know, I mean, I just got to make this really simple because I'm the pastor, right? I can't make it anything really, really horrible. You know, I lied yesterday. What do I want Jesus to say to me? I lied and I'm sorry. Do I want Jesus just to smack me? You know, get out of here, you ugly bum. You know, I'm done with you. Of course not. What I want is a hug from the guy. Isn't that what we get? When we come to Christ with our problems, we come to Christ with our sins and we ask for forgiveness, we get it. That's mercy and that's grace. And we need to be merciful and gracious with other people. I'm not trying to say that we say sin is okay. It isn't. But they are still lovable. And they are still welcome. To really hear people, we have to consider what is helpful to them, not just what makes us feel better. We have to say things that benefit them, not just make us feel more righteous. And all of this takes incredible wisdom. It takes great courage and discernment. We need the courage of David as he faces Goliath. I mean, if we're going to be open and vulnerable with people, we have to have the courage like David standing in front of the giant. We need the wisdom of Solomon. And we need discernment, like the discernment of Paul, as he knows where the Holy Spirit wants him to go, and he knows how to talk to different kinds of people. And the source of all that courage, all that wisdom, all that discernment is the Lord God Almighty. As followers of Christ, God gives us the Holy Spirit to help us. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us have strong relationships. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to be vulnerable with each other and to hear each other from the heart, to communicate heart to heart. So let's ask him to help us. Let's pray. Lord God, we need you. We need your help. We need you to restore to us the ability to have good relationships, strong, healthy relationships. We do fear what we need. We fear being loved. We fear being vulnerable. We fear being known. We avoid it. But we need it. Lord, we need you to help us. You have been so gracious and so merciful to us. Make us gracious and merciful with others. You have helped us in so many ways and grown us. Help us to help others and to help them to grow. Heal us, Lord, that we can be healers. In Jesus' name, amen.